Technorama episode 526, Love, Ferengi Style.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
I am looking for love in all the wrong places. Where can I find it?
Over there, in the media corner.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts to disregard all safety rules. Here, your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
I told you that thing with the Klingon woman wouldn't work out.
Hey, that was all on you.
Well, you know, you're supposed to be my wingman. Welcome to Technorama.
Your wingman. That's how you got with her to begin with.
This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If this is your first time joining us, thank you. You guys rock. If yes. You are returning, welcome back. We appreciate you giving us your time. I am Chuck Tomasi. Been here since before there was a Technorama. And joining me, as always, is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I'm good. I'm still on a high from watching the finale of Star Trek Discovery.
Yes, we are going to talk about that on our other podcast. The topic is
I'll
Trek.
Yes.
No, wrong sound effect. Missed by one button.
I was like, what do you do? Give him a call?
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
No, I loved it. I'm sorry. I'm kind of wrapped up in it. It was good.
You can find that over at The Topic is Trek. .com. I'm so good at it on that show most of the time.
That's funny.
Well, it says DTMF right next to desk bell. I got to move those buttons around. They're just too close. Anywho, where were we? Feedback. Yes, we have feedback.
Oh, yes, we do.
Letters. Oh, we get letters. We get your letters every day.
And some images.
Reach right in and pull one out. Those letters, I love those letters. Let's find out what you've got to say.
Oh boy!
Mailman, mail today.
I like that little guy right there. Playing the end.
We should do one of those. One of those shreds on that song. I'm sorry. Craig was the poor listener who's going to hear this on Wednesday just isn't going to know what you are talking about with the images. But we asked you earlier, what would you take the blue pill or the red pill and why? This is, of course, a reference to The Matrix. Rob Reel says, I can never remember which is which. Are either of them dipped in chocolate?
Could be.
chocolate.
And Rob
Jack
got
Mangan
three
says, do they
happy
come in
faces. And
we're not counting the happy faces. Come on. Jack okay. Mangan says, do they come in gummies?
That's probably what they look like. Little Tylenol, actually. Little DayQuil and NyQuil.
I think my original comment was, is this covered by my deductible on my insurance?
Nope.
Darn. Then I'm not taking either one. I have to admit, I did not expect a straight answer, but I really appreciate no straight answers on this. We have a Smart Aleck podcast. We have a Smart Aleck listenership. This is perfect. You guys gave us exactly what I was hoping for, and I love it. So, of course, I had to throw it.
That means we've targeted our demographic perfectly.
That's right. Or they just found us, and my plan is working.
Yeah.
If you take the blue pill, be sure to see your doctor if your reaction lasts longer than 4 hours.
Reaction. Quotes, by the way.
Brian Kennedy says, I'm terrible at decision making. What are the side effects if I just take both at once? And John Miller Jr., of course, said DayQuil or NyQuil.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't read ahead.
You ruined it.
I ruined his joke.
DayQuil, obviously, I don't need to be unconscious for 9 hours in the middle of the day.
No.
Well, not necessarily a bad thing. Mike Will says, I take three. One teaches me kung fu.
Whoa.
Thank you very much, everybody. If you are still commenting on that, have fun with that. We will be watching for that and replying to it during the week. And we will have another question at the end of the show to which you can reply. I will post it on Facebook again. And we have a voicemail from John Miller Jr.
Yes, this is John Miller Jr. I'm leaving a message for two reasons. One, you guys keep telling us to leave messages.
Yes.
I don't feel like I'm being validated. And two, notice me! Have a nice evening.
Consider this your notice.
Yeah.
You have been noticed. There you are.
He's noticed, all right.
He's got to be watching right now, right?
Yes.
No, he's not. What happened?
Yes, he is. I see right there.
How
he's in the
I
chat.
How come I see watching now? I only see three.
I see him in there.
Mine's
watching now.
Busted. My Facebook is broke. Okay.
Chuck, I'm noticing him right there.
Okay. Thank you. No wonder. I'm blaming Facebook. Let's do the history thing.
It's weird.
We have no guests, so we don't need to roll the D20. It's just going to go back and forth in its traditional fashion. We're going to see if we can get this done in time for the music.
Okay.
On this day in history for February 14th, 2018, this is the 45th day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are 320 days remaining in 2018. It was on this date in 1076 that Pope Gregory VII excommunicates Henry IV, Holy Roman Emperor.
It was also on this date in 1530, the Spanish conquistadors, led by Nuno...
Here we go.
Nuno de Guzman, overthrow the and execute Tanguxman, the last independent monarch of the Tlaxcalan.
I think it's Tangahuan.
Yeah, Tangahuan. Oh, that's right. Okay, that makes sense. Tangahuan II, the last independent monarch of the Tuscan state and present-day central Mexico.
Close enough. Let's go on. Also today in 1778, the United States flag is formally recognized by a foreign naval vessel. Hey, look, it's an American flag.
They give us the naval salute.
First time when French Admiral... Okay, my turn. Toussaint Guillaume Paquet de Lamotte renders a 9-gun salute to USS Ranger Commander John Paul Jones.
Paul Jones. And February 14th, 1779, James Cook is killed by Native Hawaiians near Kealakekua.
On Mad Mom's going to kill you.
I know. I'm just thinking the same thing.
Kealakekua? Close enough. All right. On this day, on February 14th, 1835, the original Quorum of 12 Apostles in the Latter-day Saints movement is formed in Kirtland, Ohio.
Also on this date in 1849, in New York City, James Knox Polk becomes the first serving president of the United States to have his photograph taken.
His soul was stolen that moment.
Yeah. No, my soul.
It was also on this date in 1876 that Alexander Graham Bell applies for a patent for the telephone, as does Elisha Gray, whose name was lost to obscurity because he got there second.
I was thinking the Enola Gay. Also, on February 14th, 1899, voting machines are approved by the U.S. Congress for use in federal elections, and that really made it better.
Yeah.
Here, this will solve everything.
They're approved, and we're still using the same technology we were in 1899.
Work for Florida.
That same date in 1912, U.S. Navy commissioned its first class of diesel-powered submarines.
And February 14th, 1912, Arizona is admitted as the 48th state, the 48th and the last contiguous U.S. state.
Woohoo! I use that as a reference all the time. I said, Larry here has been around since before Arizona was a state.
Right.
Also today in 1918, the Soviet Union adopts the Gregorian calendar on the 1st of February, according to the Julian calendar. I'm confused, but okay.
Yeah. Also, February 14th, 1924, the Computing Tabulating Recording Company changes its name to International Business Machines Corporation. Much improved.
IBM. The Computing Tabulating Recording Company. There's a trivia question for you, kids.
CTRC.
Stop. On February 14th, 1961, discovery of the chemical elements, element 103, Lawrencium, is first synthesized at the University of California.
It was also on this date in 1990 that the Voyager 1 spacecraft takes the photo of a planet of the planet Earth and later becomes famous as the pale blue dot.
That was 28 years ago. Wow.
Yeah.
Spacecraft Near Shoemaker enters orbit around asteroid 433 Eros, the first spacecraft to orbit an asteroid on this date in 2000.
It was also 13 years ago today that YouTube was launched by a group of college students, eventually becoming the largest video sharing website in the world and a main source for viral videos.
I got an idea. Let's put some videos on the internet.
Yeah. Okay.
Happy birthday goes out of this date to German priest and mathematician Johannes Werner, born on this date in 1468.
American journalist, politician, invented the typewriter. Christopher Latham Sholes was born 199 years ago today.
French astronomer and academic Benjamin Bailleul, born on this date in 1848.
George Washington Gale Ferris Jr. Wow.
That went off American the tracks, didn't it?
It kept going. American engineer, inventor of the Ferris wheel, was born on the same date in 1859.
Oh, I thought he invented the Gale. Scottish physicist and meteorologist, Nobel Prize laureate, Charles Thomson Rees Wilson. What's with the long names today?
I know.
Was born on this date in 1869.
Here, I'll fix it now. Born February 14th, 1882. American actor John Barrymore. Oh, I thought it said Barryman.
No. 1882, John Barryman.
Wait, no. What's a time traveler?
John Barrymore. That's like Drew Barrymore's great-granddad?
Yeah.
Or it's either great or granddad. I can't remember. Catherine Stinson, the American aviator, was born 127 years ago today.
And Jack Benny, American actor, producer, was born on the same date in 1894.
We're going to run out of music, but I'm okay. Born February 14th, 1898, Swiss-American physicist and astronomer. I love this name. Fritz Zwicky.
Zwicky. Jimmy Hoffa, American trade union leader, was born on that same date in 1913.
And we still don't know where he is.
Yeah. We don't read it up.
American mathematician and academic Nobel Prize laureate Herbert A. Hoffman was born on this date in 1917. He has the same last name as one of my childhood friends.
Hoffman. Also born on the same date in 1921, American journalist, game show host, and producer, Hugh Downs.
Remember when they started the show 2020?
Yes.
He was the host of that. American actress and singer Florence Henderson was born on this. Mrs. Brady was born on this date in 1934.
And also born on that same date in 1940, American businessman co-founded Golden Corral, James Maynard.
For which we all eat too much.
Some of us do.
Like the golden trough.
The golden trough.
American radio host and producer Terry Gross is 67. I wouldn't have guessed that.
That's gross. Also born on that same date in 1957, American television actor, host and actor Alan Hunter.
I believe that's the MTV Alan Hunter.
Okay.
And English actor, director, and producer Simon Pegg is 48 today.
What? I'm older than he is?
So many birthdays, so little time. Oh. We also have a plethora of listener birthdays that fall on this week. Happy birthday to Douglas E. Welch of Career Opportunities Podcast. Let's see if I can hit the desk bell this time. Yay. Andrew from Illinois is also on the 14th. Philip from Australia. We have not heard from that man forever.
He must be still wandering the outback or wherever he wandered.
If you're not back in 20 years, we're calling the cops. His birthday is on the 15th. We might have to say soon it was on the 15th. The 17th is Bob Trait of Mega Podzilla and Action Figure Junkies. Desk bell for him. Thank you very much. 18th has a couple of birthdays. Hot John Miller of Mega Podzilla. That's not the same one. They have the Ray Insolaco from Central Village, Connecticut is also on the 18th. Two on the 19th, Scooter in Connecticut and Steven Sumter. That was just fun
Scooter,
to say. I don't
like from the Muppets.
If you want to get on the birthday calendar, head over to chuckchat.com/wiki. Is it Wiki? Yeah, it's Fritz Wiki.
Fritz Wiki. Hey, by the way, you know, we mentioned YouTube earlier.
Yeah.
I remember reading a stat, and I don't remember the exact number, but I remember it was an ungodly amount of video people posted there within an hour. It was like a year's worth of video in an hour, depending on, I mean, just, it's an ungodly amount of video people upload.
It is. No human can keep track of all that. I don't think the machines can keep track of all that.
I know. It's just amazing to me how much is uploaded and where they actually put it.
In the cloud. You know? Of course.
I mean, I know. Well, the cloud is always just somebody else's computer, right?
That's right. All right, let's get on with some news. We have some really cool news. Let's pick one here.
Oh, great news, everyone.
We have some seriously cool amateur footage of the simultaneous Falcon Heavy booster landing.
First off, I wanted to talk about this a little bit just because it happened last week.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know if you watched it in real time, but I watched the thing and it was just amazing. Harrison and I were sitting in the car. I was like, oh, it's getting ready to take off. So we watched it. And to see those two rockets just come back and land was just
amazing. It looks like science fiction. It really does. I still can't get over how strange that looks to see a rocket come down and land like that.
Well, and then speaking of strange, how strange that looks, then you see a Tesla floating around in space.
Which, yeah, is straight out of the heavy metal movie from, what was it, 1980,
81? Yeah. Yeah, you know what? I was so wrapped up in this, I didn't even think about that. Then somebody mentioned it later and went, oh, of course.
Well, and then Gary Lindro says that someone didn't get the memo about there's something in the way of the new highway. He's making a reference to Hitchhiker's Guide because he's got a picture of Earth right over the hood of the car.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, we're going to have to get that out of the way for the new intergalactic bypass.
Yeah. That's right. And you know what? A couple other things I didn't know until I saw like the interview with Elon Musk. On the dash is a Hot Wheels version of the Roadster with a little white dummy in it.
We have a story of what is going to happen to that Tesla a little bit later in the show.
Yes. Yeah, we'll talk about that later.
Hold on to that thought because it's not going to age well. It's not like the vacuum of space will preserve your cars forever, but stick around. We're going to take a quick break. You know what? It's too early in the show for a quick break.
So wait a minute.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the video real quick. We didn't talk about the video. So this is amateur video, and so you have to go see it on your own. We can't really play it here very well, but of the same two rockets obviously landing, but it's like from somebody's hotel room or
place.
I'm not sure. It's a clear shot of him. You can see him. He sees them coming from the sky. Then you hear the sonic boom.
Well, sonic booms are much later. They're the double sonic booms.
Well, that's what happened when we saw the shuttle launch. Well, we were on the other side of the bay in Titusville, and I remember seeing the shuttle for a moment. Then you hear, it starts getting really loud, and it keeps getting loud. And it's like amazing. That's the same kind of thing. As soon as those rockets kicked off to slow down, it was like they kicked on, and you could see them. And all of a sudden,
yeah, I get the feeling he was closer than this video appears because of the sound of the rockets. Either that or those things are deafening for miles around.
Like I said, the shuttle was. I can imagine that these were as well. I just hate that they lost the third one out in the ocean somewhere.
Oops.
Yeah.
Well,
apparently it hit the water.
The power into space.
Right. Well, that's all that matters, right?
It is. Hey, let's give a quick shout out to the chat room. You seem to have a better handle on that than I do. So if you want to join us Sunday at 9:30 Eastern time on Facebook. We do this stream live and we appreciate you joining us.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure. I see six people watching, but I only see a few names. I see John Miller Jr., Scott Tyler, Tim Elliott, the mainstays. And looking through the chat, I see Myron Dupler, Tim Elliott, John Miller Jr.
This is showing people that are connected to you. It won't show you. You're seeing people that you're friends with And I'm seeing I'm friends with everybody
on Facebook, apparently.
Well, yeah, but you don't see Jeremy Marcus in there, do you?
I do not.
See? He's Donna's nephew, and he shows up, as does Michelle Liebert.
That's kind of weird, because you think that since we're, I don't know,
that
since we're hosting
sense.
This page.
I don't like it, but it makes sense.
Since we're hosting this page, I'm technically showing up as Technorama Podcast.
So am I.
So I should see everybody's names that are,
yeah,
I
but
don't know.
They don't necessarily follow Technorama Podcast because each of us shared. There may be people in here that we don't even see. They just miraculously found us. So if you're watching, thank you very much. We've got...
Love you, mean it.
Join us Sunday night, 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Or if you like the Technorama Podcast page, you'll get alerted on your own. And hopefully maybe we'll even see your name in the chat. Now at least understand why I don't see everybody you see.
That kind of makes sense. But at the same time, they're viewing the Technorama Podcast, and I have access to it, just like you do.
There is another special group of people that we want to give a shout-out to, and that is our patrons.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, my goodness. I feel like the public radio thing when we say, this show is brought to you by listeners like you. Thank you very much, listeners. This not only do we have a virtual tote bag for you. That doesn't even sound like a good thing
anymore. Here's your stuff.
Thank you to Kyle Nishioka, Avner Braverman. We were just talking about Avner today. When he came to the first or second podcast meetup in California from Israel, and we're like, wow, someone's willing to come that far to just hang out with podcasters, and we signed his microphone. That was fun.
Yes.
Ben Vaughn, thank you to Ben.
That was awesome.
Mike Wills, Night Gig Studios, Gary Lindros, John Clifford, Leon, John Noble, Chris MC, Alexis Duran, Saturday Morning Media, Steve Therian, and Jorga Schrauen. Thank you to all of you. You really help put a buck or two in the bank that helps for hardware upgrades, software upgrades, hosting.
Fines.
Fines? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
We're not supposed to talk about that. Hasn't happened in 2 weeks.
Sorry.
Come on.
Okay. All right.
Now, as a matter of fact, I should mention, I'm going to say it again at the end of the show, but let me finish with the whole Patreon chapter here first. If you want to become a Patreon, look, there's a link on the screen. My wife is terrific. She anticipates what I'm going to say. Patreon.com/Technorama Podcast for as little as a dollar a show. Then you get special content, kind of like the after show for this. We don't talk anything about what goes on in this show. Well, once in a while we do. We get inspired by what's happening.
Sometimes they're topical bleed over, and yes.
Yeah, sometimes. Sometimes we're just scrambling for topics. But hey, go over to patreon.com/technorama podcast and help support this show if you do appreciate it. It's kind of like throwing a dollar in the guitar player's guitar case as you're walking by the subway station. There's your tote bag.
Yeah.
I got your tote bag for you right here. Not sure what I'm toting around. Is that where the phrase totes come from?
Yes. We're not taking a break. We're just going to keep on going through the show.
Let's take a break. We're at like 23 minutes. So we'll take a quick break. Be right back with the Media Corner in the Geek Library. We've got a number of fun articles for you there. Hang on to your browser. What are they hanging on to?
Hang on to your asteroid.
We'll be really careful. We'll be right back.
Take a facts-based journey through the cosmos with Astronomy Cast. Join me, Dr. Pamela Gay, and my co-host Fraser Cain, publisher of Universe Today, as we discuss not just what we know, but how we know it. Topics range from dark matter to why Pluto isn't a planet. Get your episodes today at astronomycast.com or look for us in iTunes.
This is Brett Packer, formerly Division Chief for the Delta Launch Operations Division at Kennedy Space Center, and you're listening to Chuck and Craig on Technorama.
got a space theme going on. Did you catch that?
Huh?
Astronomy cast.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Delta Rocket Launch Division. Yeah. Okay. Media Corner. Where's my Media Corner thing? What color is it? That color.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
Over here, in the Media Corner.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Not that, whoa, whoa. Not that space theme.
First you're dialing phones, and now you're lighting up lightsabers.
This show is out of control. Would you like to do the Superman thing?
Yes, I would, because I actually love Superman. I know I've mentioned it here before.
If you love him so much, why don't you marry him?
Shut up. All right, so 15 things you didn't know.
We're not going to read all 15 of them. You can find them in the show notes.
Yeah. It says 15 things you didn't know about the disappointing Superman Returns.
I knew one of them. I knew one of them. Well, first off, 15 I didn't know.
I'm not going to say it was 100% disappointing. I wouldn't say it was a great movie, but I kind of enjoyed it to a degree. So I'm taking issue with the title right away.
Craig,
so,
I'm not sure I'm going to stand by your movie reviews too much in the future. You have Superman. Some guilty pleasures, man, and you like some real stinkers.
I like stinkers?
Yeah.
Like what? Name one.
Hackers.
That is a guilty pleasure.
See?
I realize there's no real tech that they're doing. It's just, you know, Hollywood tech. I like it just for what it is. Anyway, so 15, number 15, I'll go through a few of them real quick.
Yeah.
It looks like Will Smith was offered the role of Superman.
I've heard that. Yep.
I don't see that one. I mean, I like Will Smith, but.
I would love to see Will Smith or somebody of that caliber do a Superman character.
Well, he kind of did.
Say that again.
He played Hancock.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
You remember that?
Yeah.
Okay. It was sort of like that, but he was more of a drunkard superhero.
Well, yeah, that's the Hancock character.
He was like Superman 2 or whatever. Yeah, the one.
Superman unemployed.
Right. Number 14, Brandon Routh tried to play the Man of Steel twice before. So he was actually
too young.
He tried out a couple of times. He actually tried out for Smallville and was almost there, but lost out. He lost out to Tom. Mine's blank. Tom, what's his name? Anyway, so I'll just move right along. And there was another movie they were going to put together, Superman, and he almost got that one as well, but it didn't quite pan out. Amy Adams lost the part of Lois Lane to Kate Bosworth in The Superman Returns.
Mm-hmm.
So she ended up with her chance to play Lois Lane anyway. Brandon Routh was cast because of a coffee spill.
Now, wait, you can't just leave it hanging on that.
What?
We have to read a little bit into some of these more obscure ones. Someone once said that to get a good Batman, the key is to cast a good Bruce Wayne. It could probably also be said that to get a good Superman, you have to cast a good Clark Kent. Bryan Singer knew that Brandon Routh looked the part of Superman, but it took some spilled coffee to convince him that he'd found his Clark. The actor told Britain's The Telegraph that he and Singer met at a coffee shop to discuss the role. It was essentially an informal audition that lasted 90 minutes. They decided to go outside, and in the process, Routh bumped into the director, spilling coffee all over both of them. Brian said later, at this point, he thought, what a Clark.
Yeah.
Routh explained, I am a bit clumsy, a bit like Clark.
Yeah. I was going to fill that in, by the way. I wasn't going to let that one slide.
Okay, keep going. We got a few more.
Kevin Spacey dragged Superman behind a golf cart.
See, you can't leave it hanging. You got to keep going.
No, I won't leave. So the reason he did this, he was really into the part of Lex Luthor, and he had a golf cart that he was pulling around a Superman doll.
Oh, okay. It was like an action figure?
Yeah, around the park, around the movie lot.
Just to be cruel?
Yeah, and the actor drove around the set in his own specially designed golf cart. A Superman doll was tied to the rear of the cart, so that he could drag the Man of Steel behind it whenever he zipped around the set. He would also scream things like "Kill Superman!" into a megaphone while driving. To cap off his insanity, Spacey once intentionally plowed his car into a group of chairs, one of which Bryan Singer was sitting in. The star apparently felt he needed to embrace Luther's vibe in order to accurately play him.
There's getting into character, and then there's just...
I know, right?
A little over the top, but good on him. Number 10, bringing Brando back to life. Remember Marlon Brando from the 1978 Richard Donner Superman movie?
Yep. Yes.
Well, they brought him back, and CGI made this possible. I like this next one. Pranksters disrupting filming.
I read this, and it was hilarious.
That's why I said you can't just leave some of these hanging. Making a big Hollywood superhero movie with a massive budget is difficult under the best of circumstances. It's even more difficult when you have pranksters disrupting the filming. That's what happened on the set of Superman Returns. Nobody's quite sure how, but some hooligans snuck their way into a set and stole a couple of walkie-talkies belonging to the crew. They then used these walkie-talkies to yell, "Action!" before Singer was ready to roll cameras and cut in the middle of scenes being shot. The cumulative result was a lot of confusion and chaos. Eventually, the rest of the crew changed the frequency on all remaining walkie-talkies, thereby preventing anyone from issuing stray commands. The producers decided to have a sense of humor about it all, declining to file a police report.
That is funny.
All right, let's rip through a few more of these and then we'll move on.
All right, so number 8, Singer stopped production because of an action sequence.
Yeah.
Apparently there was some confusion and disarray in them trying to deliver the last big what's going to happen at the end of this movie kind of special effect, and they had to actually stop so they could plan it out. Number 7, a 9/11 related scene was scrapped.
It actually got a lot of publicity. I'm surprised that's even in this list of things you didn't know.
I didn't realize this. Did you?
Yeah, did you know? I did.
Okay. Well, there was a thing when, anyway, so they referenced the 9/11 in the movie, and I was like, when I read this, I was like, nah, I'm glad they dropped that one. The director refused to allow test screenings. And okay, just did a friends and family thing. Didn't get people to view it, and maybe he should have, because people like you didn't like it.
I didn't say I didn't like it. I just said you have some strange tastes.
I do. I do. I'm sorry. I skipped over that. The video game tie-in was bizarre. Well, you could probably say that about some movies.
Oh, sure. Look at E.T.
Good point. Good point.
Now, you got to give them credit for trying a transmedia thing. Not all movies are going to spawn video games, and maybe there's a good reason for it. And some video games shouldn't spawn movies.
Yeah. Oh, they do that all the time, too. You know, they crank out some crap that half ties into the movie. It's ridiculous. Actually, this one, you never even tried to save Lois or Jimmy or anything like that. You were, what did it say? It was, I didn't never play this, of course. You were trying to... what was it? The final game boss was like a tornado.
We're not talking about the old Superman on the Atari 2600. I played that. That was actually kind of fun.
Oh yeah. No. That was different. Yeah. This is, yeah. And number 4, it was accused of being propaganda, which I thought this was a little bit on the ridiculous side. It's because it says, although it has 75% approval rating on Rotten Tomatoes. See?
Yeah.
Not hated. Superman Returns got his fair share of negative reviews, and even the critics who liked it admitted that it were substantial flaws, and I get that. There, the person who may have disliked the film most wasn't a critic, but Dr. Hadier Mahdi wrote a rather blistering, wide shared essay on the movie, dubbing it propaganda. Among his assertions, that is a well-planned, well-administered dose of indoctrination into the American ideology of demon hunting, external threats, the use of force, and the obsession with power. But, you know, these are all the things that Superman's been doing since his inception.
let's let the reader go on to the last couple, because we won't spoil the whole thing for them. But yeah, okay, again, you can find that in our show notes at chuckchat.com/technorama. They'll be posted. Craig, you usually get those done like Monday morning.
What's that?
They're queued to be posted, but they won't go out. You won't see the show notes until actually Tuesday evening?
Yes. Okay. Tuesday evening, about 10 o'clock, the show.
That way the people in Indonesia can get them Wednesday morning.
That's exactly who I'm thinking of.
Okay. We met somebody from Indonesia. We met somebody from the island of Komodo, or as they say, Komodo.
Who?
I was selling my iPhone, and a young student from Indonesia, who works in Tempe at an internship, lives in Scottsdale Apartments. So we drove down there. It was a Friday, afternoon Friday, and I said, you're from Indonesia, because she said that while we were chatting back and forth to, you know, agree on a price and a location and a time and all that good stuff. And she brought a friend, which is smart when you're doing a transaction like this.
Yeah.
We met in the apartment office building, and there was an apartment employee there. But we started conversing, and she's from one of the other islands. I mean, Indonesia's kind of spread out a lot. Mm-hmm. And she was on kind of one end, and he's sort of in the middle. And I'm like, you know, I'm not even sure where the island of Komodo is, you know, with the Komodo dragons.
Yes.
And this guy's telling us how to keep Komodo dragons away. You need a magical stick.
Like, what?
Well, that solves it. But he said, hey, you come to Komodo and you stay with me for free because you give me free education and free housing. Well, I technically didn't do anything, but hey, if you're offering and you know how to keep the dragons away, I'm good.
Just go following him.
I said, okay, how's the scuba diving? He said, it's pristine because it's a big national park. It's like the UN has sanctioned this place as, it sounds really cool. Anyways, that was a fun side topic. You never know who you're going to meet when you sell stuff on the internet.
Yeah, right.
Fun. And she was so grateful. Both of them, very interesting people. Thank you very much to Desfa. And I apologize, I don't remember her friend's name. But
did you leave the Technorama card inside the case when you sold it?
No. Yeah,
put
like 50 of them in the iPhone box. There we go. I still had the original box and the original earbuds, and everything was cool. I did have to get it unlocked. Work had to help because originally it was sanctioned through AT&T when I owned it. And you can call AT&T and get it unlocked. However, I wasn't the original customer of the service contract, so I had to get work to do it. And they did that over the weekend, so by Monday, it was unlocked. But I really didn't know until we put in her T-Mobile card. Like, please work.
Oh, yeah, it should have been fun.
That was fun.
AT&T, T-Mobile, they're pretty compatible.
Yeah, but you do have to get it unlocked. And people were asking that all the time. Will it work with T-Mobile? Will it work with Verizon? Like, I'm locked in AT&T. But then I started looking around, can you unlock it? And of course, AT&T has a site to do that.
Yeah, and for the record, there was a place you used to be able to check and see if your phone was locked to begin with, but I think Apple removed that.
Interesting. Anyway,
whatever.
Remember in the original days, you either bought it as an AT&T phone or Verizon phone, and that was it. They were stuck for life.
Mm-hmm.
The whole unlocking thing didn't come along until later. Speaking of later, we have an interesting story. It looks like Conan the Barbarian is getting a new TV treatment.
Yeah, I'm down with that.
As part of Amazon's push into the fantasy genre, the company is developing a drama series, Conan, not based on the late night television show, based on the books by Robert E. Howard.
I'm sorry, just took me a minute. I was like, what? Oh.
Yeah, they're going to have Conan the Barbarian. He's going to have that orange hair with the swoop on it. Yeah. The literary retelling of the classic 1932 tale will see our unlikely hero searching civilization to find a place and purpose in a world that rejects him as a savage. Not Fred Savage. There are already a host of respected TV names attached to the project, including Ryan Condal from The Colony, Miguel Sapochnik from Game of Thrones, and Warren Littlefield from Fargo and The Handmaid's Tale. There's no word yet on when it's likely to hit our screens, nor who will take the role of the iconic character.
Conan the Librarian. Don't you know the Dewey Decimal System?
Stop. I should get Khal Drogo guy. Aquaman. His most famous He's most famously played by Arnold Schwarzenegger, so whoever it is will have some big furs to fill.
Jason Momoa already played Conan.
When?
In the movie.
What movie?
Conan O'Brien.
Craig's coming up with movie titles. Well, that's our next story.
Conan the Barbarian from 2011. He played Conan.
Well, that didn't seem to work out well because we all know how well that went over.
I didn't watch it, actually, but I heard it wasn't.
Nobody watched it. If you want to come up with your own blockbuster, this has nothing to do with the video store, that's Blockbuster Movie Plot Generator. We saw this earlier in the week. I think I shared this on Facebook, so you may have already seen this once before. There's four columns in here. Choose one from each column. And the first column says things like Spider-Man, group of superheroes, quirky buddy comedy, beloved 80s property, angry apes.
Actually, you know what? I want to see a movie with all of those things.
Video game franchise and theme park ride. And then the middle has some other things. And if you'd randomly put these together, you can get things like beloved 80s property, reboot in space with acclaimed British actor. I just took one row and went right across.
Hey, by the way, I think I've got some material here now for Nanorama.
Or Dog Days of Podcasting.
Here's a quirky buddy comedy from a beloved 80s property. It's a reboot in space and is R-rated. Hey, I'm good to go.
Theme park ride, whatever, in space with giant robots.
Yeah.
Directed by Michael Bay.
Yeah.
Theme park ride. Everything's
going to blow up.
Angry apes. Animated. That's not more like angry birds. Angry apes. Animated. Let's see. Can't have. Somewhere Who Cares.
Yeah.
With Dwayne Johnson. There we go. We're all set, because that's the way Hollywood does it. They just spin the various wheels. It's like a giant slot machine. And they got three lemons again. Okay, let's go to the Geek Library, which I think is that one.
Take off. This is like the beginning of a theme park run.
All right, here's the bad news, folks. Resale value on the Tesla in space is not going to be good. Dust Meteorites. Did you pick this just because of the title? I really wish Ben and Keith were here today. Because it's Dust Meteorites, Cosmic Rays, and everything else currently destroying the Tesla in space. I was so close to being Cosmic Rays and things.
I was really hoping that Michael Menengave is going to be coming tonight.
Yeah, we could have had an Elon Musk fest.
Oh, yeah. I can hear him now. Oh, yeah. Elon Musk.
Thanks to the successful Falcon Heavy launch. Yeah, and the show gets twice as long that way, too. Thanks to the successful Falcon Heavy launch on Tuesday, SpaceX shot a midnight cherry red Tesla Roadster into space with top down, blaring David Bowie. But no one's going to hear it because it's in space. And being driven by a mannequin in a SpaceX spacesuit. Okay, that's all well-known news today. What's not known is the Roadster is currently careening through space toward Mars orbit, but it's possible the car could make an Earth flyby in the future. Close enough that experienced telescope enthusiasts may be able to spot it, according to Tom Narita, an astrophysicist at the College of the Holy Cross in Massachusetts. And with hazards like high-speed space dust and cosmic rays and things.
Saw that coming.
Keep saying that. It's hard not to say it now. The Roadster may look a little different than when it did on the live stream from Tuesday. When will the Roadster be back? It's hard to say. If nothing nudges it out of the current orbit, the Roadster should make a loop around the sun and return to the same neighborhood it was and launched in roughly about 2.5 years. However, if you think about it, 2.5 years, we're going to be on the other side of the sun, so we're not going to see it. But in 5 years, we might. Though Narita is quick to note that it's hard to make that confident because precise estimates, we don't really know what the car's trajectory is. There are things that could nudge it out of orbit or nudge it into a slightly different orbit. There's something called outgassing, which is not what you get after you eat a Taco Bell.
I was going to say, wait a minute.
Ron Turner, a senior scientific advisor at NASA's Institute for Advanced Concepts, says that could also affect the car's trajectory a little bit. There's also, there's air all throughout the car, he says. In the vacuum of space, any gases in the seat cushions, the doors, the glove box, and even the space in the steering wheel wrapper, all of that gas has, and water vapor from the Earth's atmosphere is eventually going to come out. It doesn't have any reason to stay there. And when the gases do come out, they'll push the roadster in various directions. You know, that's kind of how the thrusters on the space shuttle and whatnot work. They go, psh,
psh, psh. Yeah, okay. Okay, that makes
that's,
sense.
Well, that's what's going to happen, only it's not calculated and not intentional. But he says,
imagine it's pretty minor though, right?
7.5, 10, or 11 years, it might be reasonable that we'll see it again. It just depends on what orbit it finally gets itself into. Hey, what will it look like?
Next time we see it, next time we see it, it's dragging like a fender and the paint's all off. And
pretty darn close. It will probably be
somebody
a little
leather. Somebody stole the wheels. Stole the wheels.
Think of it as finding an artifact like the Titanic under the ocean, Turner says. It's going to be in great shape, but it won't stay pristine. The Roadster will be worn down by two things. The first is constant sandblasting of tiny dust-like particles called micrometeorites that whiz through space at high speeds, according to Turner. Those little motes of dust, which are mostly just fractions of a gram, are going to be hitting that car at 20 kilometers per second, he says. They'll vaporize and scatter the paint and make nice little pits in the metal. Over decades, that could make the Tesla lose its deep cherry red color. The second force will be radiation. Mm-hmm. Anything with plastic or rubber will degrade because of the cosmic ray radiation. Energy from cosmic rays floating around in space that tend to disrupt chemical bonds. That's what they do. Narita says radiation is really tough on carbon bonds like those present in plastic and rubber. The metal structure itself should be fine for hundreds, if not thousands of years. And the plastic and rubber bits on the car, like the wheels and the seats, are going to get worn down and mottled, and in a few years eventually be shredded by all that radiation. So it's going to be running on the rims.
Yeah.
If it's got steel belts in the tires, those will probably just be hanging around the rims.
That's what I was thinking of when
the steering wheel, the dash is probably going to be really sad shape. Yeah.
Hey, next time we see it, it's up on cinder blocks and the wheels are missing.
Pretty much. Yeah. It's not going to be a happy ending for this car.
No. Hey, but you never know.
Speaking of happy endings though, or happy next chapters, do you want to tell the final story we got here?
Final story. Oh yeah. So, just like everybody else, or at least most people, I get some people telling me to let it go, like John Miller Jr. But I always look forward to seeing something with Firefly because I'm hoping it would come back on some level.
It's not as bad as you might think. He doesn't go up to every Firefly cosplayer and give him a hug. I love you, man.
Well, you know, Dragon Con. Yeah. Anyway, so
no,
it looks
they come
like
to us for hugs.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Oh, no.
Only the
I was exhausted that last time. Anyway, so Firefly is coming back, sort of, with a set of canon books to expand the universe. So there's going to be, let's see, it sounds like it may be something out of science fiction, but it is true, more Firefly stories are on the way. Entertainment Weekly can exclusively report that Titan Books and 20th Century Fox Consumer Products have teamed up to publish an original range of new fiction tying into Joss Whedon's beloved short-lived TV series, Firefly, in a movie. That the books will be official titles within the Firefly canon, with Whedon serving as a consulting editor.
Cool.
The first book is due in the fall.
If they sell a lot, maybe they'll make a movie. So the first one due out in October 2018 is called Firefly. Big Damn Hero by Nancy Holder. Captain Malcolm Reynolds finds himself in a dangerous situation after being kidnapped by a bunch of embittered veteran browncoats. Following that is March 2019, Firefly, The Magnificent Nine by James Lovegrove. Jane receives a distress call from his ex, Temperance McLeod, that leads the Serenity crew to danger on a desert, on a desert
moon.
I almost said a deserted moon.
Like ice cream or lemon meringue pie.
And then finally in October 2019, Firefly Generations has nothing to do with Kirk and Picard by LeBon, who is not related to Simon LeBon.
Yeah.
The discovery of the location of one of the legendary Ark ships that brought humans from Earth to the Verse promises staggering salvage potential. But at what cost? River Tam thinks she might know. You can learn more about the new Firefly series by clicking on the show notes at chuckchat.com/technorama. Ding. There it is.
There you go.
And
I'm actually put that on my calendar.
Yeah. Click through there and there's show notes and all good stuff there.
Yeah, I'm going to put that on my calendar. I want to follow up on that.
Order those books?
Yeah, I would definitely at least read the first one and check it out.
Calendar,
yeah,
put it in Todoist, man. Come on.
Some things you put on the calendar.
If it's hard landscape, sure, but that's not. You just
October
want a reminder date? On a certain date. It's like,
yeah, October 1st,
what are you
going to
do? No, that's not calendar. That's not going to remind you. What if you're not looking at the calendar that day?
My phone
reminds
it, me.
You putting an all-day calendar? You're going to schedule something at 8:30 to 9 that day?
On my Google calendar.
You're doing it wrong.
On my Google calendar? I don't know.
You're doing it wrong.
Maybe we need to have a talk about that.
Yeah. Maybe someday we'll have another GTD meeting.
Yeah.
All right. Final, before we go, the three of us that host the topic is Trek.com. Craig and me and Clinton Alvord, a.k.a. Comedy Forecast, are going on the Trek Cruise 3 with our spouses.
Yeah. There you go. There's the key.
Next January. And if you saw the final episode of Star Trek Discovery, we are not doing the cosplay from that nightclub with the G-strings.
The Orion.
The Orion dancers ain't happening. Yeah.
No.
Now, I might be able to pull that off.
Yeah. Maybe.
Maybe. But yeah. Donna already said no. No.
You can just wear some Vulcan ears.
I'll be lucky if I get to wear a Delta shield on anything. We were going to have topic as Trek Speedos for the three of us, but yeah, you certainly get noticed. But you know,
I'm looking for
the URL across the backside just doesn't work.
Yeah, right. I had this vision as soon as I read about the Trek cruise.
Yes,
and I thought that would be so much fun because we do the podcast together and we're all Star Trek fans. I thought it'd be fun if we could all go on the cruise together and just participate. We'll do whatever.
We have the worst luck at turning a vacation into work, don't we?
I'm not going to turn it into work.
Oh, I'm bringing some recording device.
Oh yeah. No,
and
we can do something.
We'll get
some
cards for the podcast, et cetera, et cetera. It's not going to there's going to be opportunities to be had, and if we lock in on any of them, we got to seize them.
Yeah,
even
I don't know.
If it's we'll just see. Getting, even if it's just getting Mary Chifo to say, "This is Mary Chifo, and you're listening to the topic is Trek."
And yeah,
I'd be happy with that. I'd call that a success.
And here are two torchbearers. No, that'd be fun. Yeah, we'll obviously be taking some stuff. Yeah, you're right. Probably turn into a little bit of
don't geek miss an opportunity. That's what I learned by working in marketing. All right, that takes care of this show. Our question of the week for you this week. Oh, and I should point out that we are going to be taking a couple of weeks off. Next week, I'm going to be in California visiting my brother. And the following week, I am going to be recovering from a fairly significant surgery, so I don't expect to be in this seat or in this studio much. So there may even be a week or two after that. Not sure yet what the full recovery is going to look like or how long it's going to take. So it may be mid-March before you get another episode of Technorama, but that's okay. We love you and we want you to stay subscribed and you will receive it when it comes out, when we're back.
Yes.
And if you join
actually
the Facebook
group, I will promise to fill in the blanks with some of our Patreon shows. How about that?
Yeah, if we see stuff on the, you know, if join the Facebook page, if we see stuff on the news feeds that we think we're likely to share between now and the next show, we'll throw them in there. That's fun, too. So our question for you this week, or actually it's going to probably be the next several weeks, is you wake up in 1870. What job are you qualified to do? That's an excellent question. I often wondered that every once in a while, going, if society collapsed, you know, technology went and the EMP hit and all that, what on earth could I do?
So clean up after some horses.
Well, first I'd probably move out of Phoenix before summertime.
Yeah.
That's not a good situation.
Well, you know, I am an accomplished blacksmith. I think I'll be okay.
I watch a lot of MacGyver. I can make something out of anything.
Wait a minute. So that's interesting. If you wake up in 1870, do I have the knowledge that I do today?
Yes. Let's say you just time travel. You know, your DeLorean got trapped there or something.
So, yeah, I could make a car before cars came around.
Well, don't disrupt the timeline.
That wasn't part of the question.
Let's sign out.
That wasn't the qualifier there.
Wow. John Miller Jr. says, I'm going to pass on this one. We'll give you time to think about it, man. You got a lot of time. All right. We are coming up on an hour for this, and it's time to say goodnight, Gracie. So if you want to get in touch with us, you can reach us on the listener line. Look right there. Right there on the screen. Contact us. 707-530-2428. And we will recognize you.
Hey, and just like JMJ, John Miller Jr., go hit our call button on the Facebook page.
Is that how he got a hold of us, or was it a straight call to the 707 number? We don't know.
You'll have to tell us.
Yeah. Call us again and let us know. Email us, technorama at chuckchat.com. We'd love to hear from you. You know how to get a hold of us, chuckchat.com/technorama, for all the links to the social media websites and whatnot. And thank you again to our Patreon patrons. We are going to record your show right after this in just a few moments. So until next time, Craig, give me a binary high five.
101.
Sorry.
Bless you.
Good timing on that one.